Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Amen, amen, amen. Boy, what a powerful declaration. We were just singing that song, "This is how we fight our battle." And we're going to see a victory. Those two big thoughts together because of who God is. I want you to know this morning, that's his promise to you. You are going to see a victory. You follow God and go where he leads you in the way he says to go. Doing day in and day out, that daily sense of obedience. You're going to watch God lead you from victory to victory. We fight that battle often, dealing with circumstances that are seemingly too big to deal with, that feel overwhelming, but we stand in the position of victory by the authority God's given us as the believers, the redeemed, his people, his children. We stand in that position and we say, God, what next? God leads us step by step by step into certain victory. Earlier this year, for those of you that have been in the LifeLink flow for a while, you know, we started this year with a message series, oddly enough, called Closed on Sunday. Had no idea where God was leading us, but the verse he gave us for this year was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and that is this: trust in the Lord with all of your hearts. Do not lean on our own understanding. Don't lean on our understanding alone. God says, in all of our ways, acknowledge him. Look to him for guidance. Look to him in every step of your day, every step of your season. And he says, and he will direct your path. You're going to see a victory this morning. I want you to hear that deep inside. You are going to see a victory. Amen. Well, God's given me a message this morning called God is Our Source. And this morning, I want to pray for you that you hear with an open heart and open mind, that your hearing is not just in your ears, not just in your mind, but deep in your heart, that God plants truth in your understanding that's going to transform the way you live your lives this week, moving into this season with a sense of victory to victory to victory. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you are such a good and powerful God. Lord, you're present in every part of our lives, and you're the one that said to trust you. Don't depend on our own understanding alone, but acknowledge you in all of our ways, and you'll direct our paths. So that's what we're doing this morning. We want to acknowledge you, Lord. What are you saying about how we live? And what does this mean that you are our source, and how does that apply to our everyday life? Thank you for all of those things you'll do today. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said or typed, amen. Amen, amen. I can hardly wait to get into this morning. God's given me such a strong word for you today, and I believe it's going to encourage you, but more than just encourage you, it's going to equip you. I want to let you know that the sermon is really going to come to you in two different parts. The first part is all about who God is as our source, so that we have confidence on the inside to actually then do what he says and align our lives with the provision that he wants to bring to us. Amen. So God is our source, part one, who God is. And then number two, part two, how we align our lives with him as our source. All right. So I'm going to use a few different words this morning, and I'm going to use them over and over as God builds our understanding together this morning. One is the word source, from which comes the provision we need. Second is provision. That is the things that we need in order to live our lives fully sustained. The third is the word resource, resource. So in the way of thinking how this goes, God is our source. He moves things from him into our lives through a resource that then provides the provision that we need. So God is our source. He moves his provision through a resource, a natural something, into our lives by way of provision. A lot of times we begin to think of our provision coming from our resources. But God wants us to know this morning, he is our source who really everything comes from. Our resource would be things like our jobs, maybe people we know, things that we do, a business that we're in, that God uses those things called resources to provide provision to us, but they come from him as our source. So it's really important that we understand that God is faithful in every way. He's always the same in who he is. In fact, we get this picture from James chapter 1, verse 17, it says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God wants you to know that He is your source and He doesn't change. He's 100% committed to you all the time. The issue that many times we face is we get to thinking of the natural part of that chain, if you will, the resource part of our job or our business or contracts or our investment strategies, whatever that is that you tend to think of as where the resources come through, the provision comes through. We tend to think of that as what's important. God says, no, that part can change a lot. He never changes. And the provisions we need come from Him to begin with. He can use any number of resources, which we would think of as a job or investments or savings accounts or relationships or business ideas. Those are all resources. He's the source. He moves provision through those resources into our lives. And He wants us to know this morning that our faith has got to be number one in Him as our source. He's our source. I want to look at an Old Testament passage of scripture and help you see in a graphic illustration, in a real life scenario of one of God's people named Elijah. Elijah. All right. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we see this. And as I'm going through this, I want you to see if you can figure out what's the source, what's the resource, and what's the provision. And if you'll pay attention, you'll see all three of these things at work in this passage. Listen carefully. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here and turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of Jordan. Now, let me just tell you right off the bat, many of the names we're going to read in this historical account may not mean anything to you. The names aren't important. It's the movement of God's faithfulness through different resources, moving provision from His who He is as Elijah's source through the resources that He puts in front of him to make provision for what he needs. That's three things you're listening for. All right? He says, leave here, verse 3, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine east of Jordan. Now listen to this. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Now do you see it? The source is God. He's directing ravens of all things to make provision for Elijah. You see those three things? God is the source, the ravens are the resource, the food and the water are the provision. Do you see it? That's what God is helping us understand. Verse 5 says, so he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and he stayed there. Verse 6, sure enough, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So he stayed aligned with God's direction. And in doing so, he stayed aligned with the provision he needed, because God, who doesn't ever change as his source, used in that season ravens and a brook to make provisions for what he needed. Do you see that? Now listen, the story goes on. This is where I feel like the story becomes a little more relatable to where we are. Verse 7 says, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So I want you to see here, there's something that happened in the world around him. Rainlessness, drought, caused the brook to dry up. And here's what God did when the brook dried up. He didn't make more rain come. He did something else. He said, verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow to supply you with food. Once again, we see how God, who is the source, told Elijah where to go and what to look to as a resource, not the source, but the resource for the provision that he would need. In this particular circumstance, twice, the Lord rearranged the resources around him to make provision for what he needed. And that's a directly transferable principle to how God works in our lives. He's always the source. The resource is the natural thing that the provisions flow through into our lives that are important, but they cannot be what he is. He's the source. He uses resources to move provisions into our life. And for the first part of the message, what I want you to understand is he is our source, and the scripture says he never changes. He's always faithful. So this morning, I wanted to start with that because while we saw that the resource kept changing in Elijah's circumstance, God, the source, never changed. So then how do we apply that to our lives? Well, I want to look into a New Testament passage of scripture and take the second part of the message to talk about that. This is where, and I love this, Jesus actually explained how his kingdom works, the kingdom of God. And he says it in a story, an illustration, but it's easy to identify the pieces and parts of this story and then apply them to our lives. So Jesus is saying, this is how the kingdom of God works. All right, so part two, this is important because this is how we align ourselves and our lives to who God is as our source. We align ourselves to him. We don't say, God, you do it our way. We do it his way. And when we align ourselves through obedience to him and his way, he is faithful to make provision, even if we don't understand it. Now watch how these things come together. All right, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 26 says this. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed. So he says, I'm going to explain how the kingdom of God works. I'm going to use the illustration of a farmer who sows a seed and actually raises a crop and then harvests the crop. And then that's the provision for his life and what to do with it after that. So he's going to use this illustration. See if you can figure out the pieces and parts of the provision coming through a resource from the source. And this is how we align ourselves to it. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters the seed on the ground. All right, now there's a part of this that the man does, and the part of this that God does. Let's figure out which is which. Number one, God is the one who creates the seed. Man cannot come up with the seed. God created the seed. That's his part. The seed came from a harvest earlier. In the harvest, part of that harvest is the seed. So we actually jump into the circuit, if you will, right here at the seed form, but it came from an earlier harvest. But man's part is to sow that seed or scatter the seed on the ground. That part God won't do. So there's a part only God can do, which is provide the seed. And then there's a part that we do, which is sow the seed. But God won't do our part and we can't do his part. Now watch this. I love how it goes on. Verse 27, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. In other words, the part that God does here, the farmer doesn't know how it works. He has a basic understanding of the seed goes in the soil, but he doesn't know literally how God's divine part works. However, all by itself, verse 28 says, whether the farmer understands it or not doesn't matter. All by itself, in other words, God's divine part is this. The soil produces the grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now watch this. The farmer takes the seed that God provided. He couldn't make a seed, but he could take the seed that God provided. And instead of throwing it away or eating the seed, he planted the seed. That's his part. God did his part first, provide the seed. Then the farmer did his part, sowed the seed. Then God came back into the cycle and he caused the seed to begin to produce a harvest. But then there was a moment where the farmer had to recognize the harvest is ripe. It's time to go to work and work the harvest. And so that's why we see in verse 29, as soon as the grain is ripe, the farmer puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. So he goes into the field of harvest and works that out. Notice the farmer doesn't just sit at home and God just, with his mouth hanging open and God just throwing food in his mouth. No, no, no. Jesus said, this is how the kingdom of God works. I'm going to provide a seed. You sow it, you work it, and when the harvest comes, then you work the harvest, and in that harvest will be, guess what? More seed. Then what do you do with that seed? You go right back into that same process. You sow the seed, you watch God do his part, and then you harvest the seed, okay? How do we practically align our lives with this? First thing I want you to see is this. We plant the seed that God provides. We're the ones that do that. God provides the seed, but we plant it. How do we do that? Let me give you a spiritual dimension of seed planting and a physical dimension of seed planting. The spiritual dimension first is we return the tithe and we give as God directs. We return the tithe and give as God directs. A portion of the increase that comes into our hand, the Bible says, is the tithe. It's already his. It comes into our house and into our hands. And what we do with that tithe is we return it to the house of God. That's our congregational assembly on as a church family. And that's why you'll hear us say we worship three ways: singing, giving, and the scriptures. This is why. You know why? Because it's part of how God's kingdom works. That's a spiritual dimension. The second thing, the physical dimension, is this. We work diligently with the abilities God's given us. God doesn't say, you're going to sit home and watch Netflix all day long and just sit there like a lazy slug and I'm just going to pour out revenue for you. No, no, no. God says, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to provide the seed. You're going to sow the seed. Then I'm going to cause it to increase. Then you're going to work in the fields and harvest the harvest. All right? So there is a set of physical abilities God's given us. And part of sowing the seed is using your abilities in whatever season you find yourself, faithfully doing what can be done so that God can move provision through you to you through resources that would be different than you might normally expect. Let's say you're working a job that's been furloughed, and all of a sudden you realize, in this season, I could sit at home and do all these things and watch Netflix and do this and that and the other, or I could actually go in the garage, I could arrange some things, I could sell some stuff on OfferUp or Facebook community or Craigslist or whatever it is. I can get busy and I can do what I can do. God says, if you'll sow the seed of returning the tithe and you'll actually use your abilities, that's part of it. That's how we plant the seed. Then God causes the seed to grow and produce a harvest. We don't understand how it works. What we do know is God is faithful to do it. So what I want to do now is talk to you about how do you manage the harvest. When revenue comes in, when resources come in, when provision comes in, how do we manage that biblically? All right? Well, this may come as a shock, but the first thing you do is you return God's tithe on all increase. It's right there in your notes. You return God's tithe in all of your increase. You keep planting the seed of what will become your harvest. Second is save. Save first. Don't wait to save to the end. Save first. Ask God for guidance, because there's two types of savings. I think it's even in times of tight economies like what we're living in now, God will give you two different types of guidance. One is save for your upcoming needs. There'll be things that you don't see coming that you're in a need for. He'll tell you ahead of time how to save for it. Don't spend what he says save. Save it. But he'll also say, I want you to save for others who I'm going to put in your way so you can be a natural provision of blessing for them too. Okay? So when it comes to the harvest that comes into our life, the first thing we do is we always return God's part, the tithe. It belongs to him. It's holy. It aligns our lives with his kingdom. Second thing is we're going to save. The third thing is we're going to spend wisely. Wisely. We're not just going to spend like we want to. We're going to spend wisely. Wisely is tied right up to spend, because a lot of us just want to spend. It's just more fun to spend. But we don't want to spend indiscretionately. We want to spend wisely. Wisely means it's guided spending. There's a budget process that says, before you start spending, here's how I want you to go about planning that. I want you to spend wisely. In other words, don't be in this season without a budget. Listen, church, please. In fact, it's one of the resources we've made available to you. There's a resource at the end of your notes that says how to get to a budget sheet. Well, I want to encourage you right now, if you've not already done so, make plans to get that budget sheet. And if you don't already have a budget, it's an Excel spreadsheet you can use easily. Or it's also designed where you can just download a PDF and you can handwrite it longhand if you want to do that. But spend wisely on a budget. Let me give you five categories. It's there on your notes, but let me just talk in case you don't have the notes. Here's the five categories in order, especially in seasons like we're in, that I believe God wants you to do. First, you're going to return God's tithe. Second, you're going to save. Third is you're going to spend wisely. And here's the categories. Food is first. Food is first. Notice in Elijah's provisions, God was providing food for him. It's food first. Second, utilities. Third is shelter. shelter, a place to stay. Maintain the mortgage or the rent on your homes best you can. Keep all those current. The fourth one is transportation. That way, when the working economy comes back online, you can still get to work. Fifth is then only spend on your needs. Just spend on your needs, not all your wants. Here's why. Even if you have extra, well, I want to encourage you, be willing to save that, because cash is king in seasons like this especially. So only spend what you need. And the needs often are defined for people who have a little bit of debt they're working towards. Minimum payments would be a need. I want to encourage you to maintain the best of your ability, those obligations that you have, so that God is able to help you provide in seasons that are coming the ability to finish paying those off. But you don't want to get behind on those, if you can, if at all possible, as part of the needs, your obligations. Then some of the other things that the Lord will show you as king, other essentials. All right? So when it comes to the way God works, first, we started this sermon with this understanding. God is your source. He uses resources like jobs, creativity, businesses, ventures. He uses things like relationships. He'll use different resources to move provision to your life. The resources often change. He never does. So we started the journey this morning looking at God's faithfulness. Why? Because that's who he is. The next thing we do then is we align our lives to him by obedience. That's what we were just talking about a moment ago. When the harvest comes, we take the seed, the tithe and the offering, we plant that back, and then we work with our hands, our abilities. And we don't just twiddle our thumbs and wait for the economy to come back online. We stay busy. Kingdom of God works like that. The second thing is we save. You save as the Lord shows you for needs that are coming up, and then needs for others as well. By the way, I want to make a quick mention in this. We have just started something called FLAG, Greater Phoenix, for those of you that are here in the Phoenix area. It stands for Frontline Appreciation Group. The moderators on the comment threads that you're watching right now are going to put a link in their comments. So you'll know how to get to that spot on Facebook. We put this together so that people like you who want to make a difference in the lives of those who are on the front lines, our doctors and nurses and hospital administrators and supply chains and skilled nursing facilities and rest homes and things along those lines, people serving in those environments can feel your support and appreciation. So we put that together for you. That you can click the link at the end of the message and make sure you know how to get there. If you've not already seen it, that's a great place to give after you've returned the tithe here, and then the Lord shows you how to give in different directions. That may be one of the spots. Then you spend wisely, which means you spend on a budget. You don't spend on a whim. We talked about those five categories: food, utilities, shelter, transportation, and then other needs, in that order. Here's what I want you to know. If you'll trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't simply depend on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. The Bible says he will direct your paths. Victory to victory, you're going to see a victory. If you follow God, who's always faithful, and let him lead your life, aligning your life to him and how he works, you can expect God to resource your life. Why? He's your source, who will use different resources to make provision for you. So this morning, we've actually journeyed through the Old Testament account of Elijah, how the Lord changed his resources twice. But his provision that he experienced always came from the source who never changed. Then we looked in the New Testament for Jesus to give us guidance. How do we align our lives to who God is? And there's no substitute. We just got to do what he says. And if we do, then we're going to watch God bring the victory. I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are such a good God. Lord, you loved us enough to tell us the truth of how things work. Even though we don't understand it, we can actually see simply how to align our lives with who you are as our source and stand on a solid foundation when so much of life is shaking. God, I just thank you for that confidence that comes. And I just pray a hedge of protection around those that call LifeLink home and friends and family of LifeLink. You would encourage them. You would equip them this morning by this study And God, cause them to be able to live in victory this week. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me just pray for those of you that know today you need to say yes to Jesus Christ to become your Savior and your Lord. Your heart already knows it, but let me give your mouth words to say. Would you just say this simple life change prayer with me? Come on, say this together. Heavenly Father, one out loud right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die in my place on Calvary's cross to pay for all of my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, to wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you because I've decided to follow you as my only Savior, my only God, from this day forward, in Jesus' name. Everybody said or typed, amen. Amen. Hey, just before you go anywhere, please stay with me for about 2 minutes and we're done. I want to ask those, especially those of you that call LifeLink home, we want to know where you're at, how we can pray with you about what's going on in your lives and help you celebrate God's faithfulness. Right now, I'm going to ask, when we leave the broadcast in just a moment, would you just, before you go anywhere else, shoot us a quick little email at info@lifelinkchurch.com. info@lifelinkchurch.com. Let us know how we can connect with you this morning, this week in prayer, how we can celebrate you with God's faithfulness. And if you just said yes to Jesus, let us know that too. We want to get some resources into your hands, help you make the most of this next new season. Pastor Sheree, why don't you come in here and let's help close out the service together this morning.
That was such a great message, Pastor Dave.
Well, thank you.
Did you all enjoy that? I'm telling you, that was a great word and very spiritual, but yet practical. And the scripture that you had already stated, trust in the Lord with all our heart, not it from our head. I'm telling you, folks, God is faithful to his word. So let's act on it, lean in on it, and we're going to see results. Amen?
Victory.
In fact, we've already been seeing victory. We've been praying together, 7:14 a.m. and 7:14 p.m. And have you been watching the news? We've been seeing some things open up, and I'm telling you, God is moving in our land. And so we want to just continue to invite you to come and pray with us. Set your alarm, 7:14 a.m. and p.m. And also join us this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on Instagram and Facebook. Pastor Dave and I want to connect with you and just have some fun and encouragement and just connect. It's been a great anchor point for many of us that have been home alone all day long and you just need that connection. Come and join us. We love to connect with you and encourage you.
Let me just tell you with you for a second.
Yeah.
I want to remind everybody that our students always connect on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
On Instagram at LifeLink at 7. And then our young adults always connect at Friday nights at 8 o'clock. And they're both of those, Wednesday nights and Friday nights, are so much fun. They're so important for everybody. So make sure.
Yes, they are.
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If LifeLink is where you look for family or support, we want you to know we love you
as
and we're watching God do it.
As well as check your emails because our kids programming for Kids Link is happening and they have recorded some amazing things for your kids. Elementary, preschool, all the way through Link 56. So church is still happening,
yep.
And we're glad that you're a part of it. So thanks for joining us. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, let his countenance turn towards you and bring you peace.
Amen.
That's a word for you today. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.